This week in the Parashah of Bourses and Market Structure, Vermiculus keeps wriggling, NSE IPO back on the agenda as Elliott loses their LME appeal. My name is Patrick L. Young. Welcome to the Bourse Business Weekly Digest. It's the Exchange Invest Weekly Podcast, episode 266. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. This is a very brief reduction of highlights amongst the key headlines from the week in market structure. All the analysis of the many events and happenings from the past 7 days can be found in Exchange Invest's daily subscriber newsletter, the unique guide to the bourse business sent daily to your inbox. More details at exchangeinvest.com. Over in Bid Carnage, this was the week when Sam met Diddy. In a fascinating moment for the legal profession, Diddy hired the lawyer of prison bunkmate Sam Bankman-Fried, albeit I'm not sure this is a glowing advertisement for crypto. If you enjoy this excerpt, you may be interested to know you can read BitCarnage every day in Exchange Invest. Alternatively, if you want to follow BitCarnage, the daily update on the happenings in the world of crypto and digital assets, you can find BitCarnage as a standalone on Substack. Over in the big world of exchanges, exclusively via Reuters this week, they believe LME are on track to approve Hong Kong for warehousing by the end of 2024. While the big LME news was that Elliott's appeal over the LME nickel shutdown was fundamentally dismissed. Thus, it looks, ladies and gentlemen, as if the nickel nightmare has concluded, at least in the courts, as Elliott lose their appeal against the previous victory by LME. In Brussels, Euroclear have completed the simplification of their group structure. Are we back in single-digit tiers of Belgian middle management, I wonder? In India, SEBI may have imposed a 12 lakh rupee penalty on NSE Data and Analytics, but the IPO path now appears to be clear as NSE have settled their case with SEBI over the NSE TAP case. In total, a series of people are going to pay 643 crore rupees to settle that, but here we are, some years later. And finally, the path to an NSE IPO is opening up once more. Meanwhile, the new Thai stock market chief, Asadeh Kongsiri, the former head of the financial advisory services at Deloitte Thailand, who was recently elected as stock market chief, is vowing to restore confidence in the set. Over in Dhaka, a lot of trouble there. It seems the Dhaka Stock Exchange investors have been demanding the BSEC chairman's resignation. At one stage, the chairman of the Bangladesh Securities and Exchange Commission was actually confined to his office by demonstrators. Stakeholders urgently want reforms in stock market policies. Miami International Holdings, they've confirmed that they're renaming Minneapolis Grain Exchange, farewell to that brand, as MIAX Futures Exchange. Over at NASDAQ, they're facing an inquiry from 22 Grand Old Party state attorney generals over the diversity rules. Ultimately, I always felt NASDAQ had somewhat overstretched the mark with their ESG moves, even if they were in the spirit of the Gensler-Biden-Harris era zeitgeist. The one key area where it remains a real challenge is diversity. The male-female gender divide alone is tragically not being progressed by many. Why those certain cadres of bigoted blokes don't want more profitable companies through diversity, I find somewhat bizarre. After all, the current crypto-bromania is one laden with a hideously blatant chauvinism, which would have raised eyebrows amongst money brokers a generation ago.
Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly. We welcome your feedback. You can contact me directly, patrick@derivativesvision.com, with any comments. Meanwhile, if you enjoyed this show, we would welcome you giving us a thumbs up. Or if you have time, a positive review will always be welcome, wherever you find this podcast.
Moscow Exchange, they see insufficient demand for big IPOs. They're proposing easing the free float requirements. The European Union Commission, they've been touting the fact they've joined Eurex's repo market. Huge hurrahs from DB1 as the rest of the market felt somewhat uncomfortable at the proximity between the EU blob and the German Stock Exchange Group. Meanwhile, don't forget, if you're interested in what's going on in the world of the Bourse business, then you ought to be subscribing to Exchange Invest, the daily bulletin of the Bourse business, published Monday through Friday. You can sign up at exchangeinvest.com, and the price is going up imminently to $500 per user month. Elsewhere, don't forget to check in on Tuesday's midday Eastern Standard Time, 6 o'clock European time, for the IPO FID livestream. This week we had a magnificent show, Patrick Wood, outlining Delphex, credit rating securities, empowering risk management and credit markets. While our next show, IPO FID 156, coming on Tuesday, will be all about a fascinating book, She Wools, The Untold History of Women on Wall Street, and we'll be interviewing the author of that fabulous tome, Paulina Brann. Speaking of tomes, our finance book of the week this week is Michael Lewis's The Big Short, Inside the Doomsday Machine, a fabulous sequel to Liar's Poker, our book of last week, and indeed a magnificently interesting, intriguing and amusing tale of how the 2008 banking crash took place. Don't forget, if you want all the news on the Bourse business, of course you need to subscribe to Exchange Invest Daily. If you want to find out what's going to be the next book of the week in low latency, then you can sign up for EI Weekend absolutely free. Product news, the Hong Kong exchanges are open to adding weekly expiries after the single stock futures launch. And meanwhile, big product news of the week, the Federal Appeals Court 3-0 decision allowed prediction market Kalshi to offer US election betting. By the time we record this podcast, and apologies, it's taking place in a rather loud public space in Amsterdam after the AFM conference, Kalshi already had $100 million matched on their markets. Of course, Kalshi aren't alone as the official regulated markets for these prediction political outcomes. IBKR is also all in on election markets alongside Kalshi. Well, the Benham CFTC looks like a passenger to reality once again. Plaudits to Tariq Mansour and the indefatigable Kalshi team for fighting their way through this. And don't forget, you can still make comments to CFTC now on the topic of political risk markets. Incidentally, the IBKR Forecast X system is provided by Connemara, who were guests on IPO FID recently discussing the future exchange matching engines. Elsewhere in technology, Vermiculous, congratulations to them, wriggling onwards with gusto. They've been selected to deliver a microservice-based CSD system to the Bermuda Stock Exchange, expanding their relationship with the Miami Exchanges Group. The LSEG platform, unfortunately, various users reported an outage in Europe last week. And further news from Connemara, they've equipped ZeroHash with cutting-edge exchange platforms. Another good breakthrough for Connemara, hot on the heels of their installation into IBKR's Forecast X prediction market, as we mentioned. Indeed, it has to be said, Connemara, Nasdaq and Vermiculous have all demonstrated excellent momentum in sales during the past year. Career paths this week, a brokerage, Charles Schwab's longtime CEO, Walt Bettinger, is retiring, and the president, Rick Verster, has been named as the new CEO. In Yerevan, Ani Makarian has been appointed the new CEO of the Central Depository of Armenia. And that leaves us, ladies and gentlemen, with a multitude of big world facts and figures. First up, some psephology. A majority of American men have voted for the Republican Party since 1976. A majority of women have voted for the Democratic Party since 1980. Over in London, a magnificent insight into everything wrong with government salaries, where you can be a London nightclub czar and garner six figures in sterling for apparently not doing a lot before that lady retired, resigned, disappeared, something this week. Anyway, UKGov was recently advertising for a head of Polish trade relations. That's a top 15 UK trading partner with circa $40 billion in trade between the two nations, and it grew at 15% last year alone. The remuneration for this hefty job is to the tune of £33,000 per annum. At the same time, a local sous chef position in the same postcode area, SW1 in central London, was available simultaneously, paying no less than £7,000 more, £40,000 per annum. And on that mysterious and magnificent note, thank you for listening to this EI Weekly Podcast 266. Join us daily via exchangeinvest.com, or if you have a new exchange you'd like built, get in touch. My name is Patrick L. Young, and I wish you a great week in life and markets.
This show relates to the business of bourses. It is not to be construed as investment advice, nor are we making any investment recommendations. Please consult an investment advisor before you make any investments, and for goodness sake, do your due diligence and do not make investments without complying with the regulations in your home state. Exchange Invest cannot be held responsible for any investment decisions made as a result of our program, which is for entertainment purposes only. The material herein is copyright Patrick L. Young at the date of publication, while our music and sound effects are sourced from copyright-free sources. Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly, the exchange of information.